Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Central Rappahannock Regional Library in this morning, and for the first time, I have two new people. Usually with the library, there's someone I know. I don't know anybody today, and we're going to have a great time in a different kind of library show this morning. It is the show of a community engagement. Sean Bonney is here, the director of community engagement, but the director for what? Only a few more days, Sean. You're getting ready to retire.
That's correct, Ted. Thank you. Monday is my last day with the library after 33 years.
And you have brought your successor in, Raya Nickerson. Raya, it's great to meet you.
Hi, Ted. Thanks for having me.
It is so good to have both of you, because you're the ones who kind of get the library word out in some of the things that we talk about every month on this show. So it is great to have both of you. Raya, since you're new, we'll delve into you for a few minutes. How'd you get to the library?
Sure. So I come from a local government background. I was a program manager and then the deputy director in the town of Dumfries for the Public Works Department.
Okay.
Part of my experience there was forming community partnerships and taking on initiatives like a bus station art project or a water monitoring program. So these experiences are really grounded in project management and also a passion for opportunities to help build strong and sustainable communities.
Sure, and boy, and as we get into this morning, what the Director of Community Engagement does with the library, that all seems just a lot of the things that you'll be doing with the library now.
Absolutely. Most recently, I did have a brief stint in the private sector, working for a contractor for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And last year, I was part of the 2024 cohort for the Leadership Development Program at VCU, which is an all-women's program. It was really fun. I had a really good time there.
So you kind of know the region, having come most recently from Dumfries. You have an idea about this area.
Yes, I was born in Triangle, which is right outside of Dumfries.
Yeah.
I went to college at VCU in Richmond and then moved to Fredericksburg. So I've been here for about 6 years now. I love the area. My fiance is born and raised from Heartwood. So I've really gotten to see a lot of the surrounding area. It's such an interesting community. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, welcome. We are glad to have you, and it's gonna be good working with you. And I'm sure you come in with a lot of ideas, and we'll see what develops.
Absolutely. CURL has always been a passion of mine, and I've always wanted to work for the library. I used to have date nights at the Howell Branch. We would go there and bring our books and hang out and our laptops.
Wait a minute. Wow, I was just going to ask you, because always when librarians come in, we talk about how many books they read in the course of a month or a year, and it's always, but if you've had date nights at the Howell Branch, I mean, you're going to fit right in with everyone.
I hope so. So yes, that was a very fun time. That was like our go-to. It was cheap. Things were expensive,
sure.
You know. So we were like, let's go to the library and see what's going on. It's free entertainment. But then I started becoming a volunteer, and that's really kind of how I got into this position, was volunteering with the Friends of the Library at their book sales. And that just kind of opened me up to get to know people, get to know this world a little bit, and I just fell in love with the community.
Interesting. So the Friends of the Library bookstore over there off of Lafayette Boulevard, I'll have to sometime take a picture of all the books I have at home that I have gotten from there, because I don't know that in a lifetime I could read. That is a great, great resource for the community.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely score some deals there. They're monthly at each branch as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out that schedule. And then we do have them at the administration center All of the proceeds go to Friends of the Library, and Friends of the Library do so much. They really use those funds to put them back into the library and projects that they want to see happen. So it's a very cool initiative.
I'm still just trying to process date nights at the library. I mean, that just opens up. I mean, we now can start talking about that. That can be a thing.
Absolutely. Highly recommended. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. So, Ray, it's great to have you here, and welcome to the Central Rappahannock Regional Library.
Thank you.
Sean, you've been with the library for a while, and that's the amazing thing that we have met a few times that I didn't remember.
Yes.
But your career has been with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library.
Absolutely. My entire adult working life has been at the library. I started in 1992. Library was a little smaller then. We didn't have as many branches. The library was growing pretty quickly then.
Yeah.
I think we had just surpassed 1 million annual circulation in the previous year. I had not really intended to have a career at the library. I had graduated from VCU with a degree in communication and design, mostly illustration and hands-on natural design. Computers weren't
sure.
necessarily a go-to toolkit for visual communicators. But I graduated from the library. I fell in love with and married a librarian. And within 6 months, I was working at the library, as she was.
Wow. So all these years, what are some of the different things that you've done at the library, been involved with?
Oh, my goodness. So I was hired May 4th, Star Wars Day, in 1992. My first job was installing collections in the two museum-quality display cases at the downtown branch. What is now our Fredericksburg branch was then the headquarters library. So we would bring in collections owned by the staff or by customers, and I would merchandise them as sort of an interesting piece and sometimes to launch into the collection. I think my very first one was a staff collection of ceramic lemons. We had a staff member who really collected ceramic lemons, and she had about 40 of them. And I remember putting them in this case and thinking, this is such a fun job.
Right.
I enjoy that. But at that time, the library did not really have any publicity staff, any technology for that. Book lists were being typed up by typewriter and mimeographed. Sometimes clip art was physically cut out of those old, if you remember the Dover clip art books that you would page through and you would cut out, royalty-free clip art to physically paste in.
Forgot about those things.
And so there wasn't anybody else doing visual stuff for the library like that. And I just got an offer, do you want to take a swing at our annual report? And that was the first thing I did. It was very analog, cutting photos out with a knife and using glue and pasting it all together and drawing stuff with an ink pen. It was very, very old school. But then very quickly, of course, the desktop publishing revolution was occurring. It started in the mid-80s, and suddenly hardware and software was accessible. Companies, organizations like the library could afford to start designing their own stuff. And so we quickly moved into that direction. The library purchased its first desktop computer for me to create graphics on, and that was the first of many. And then it just sort of snowballed and expanded from there. Suddenly we realized all of the potential if we started designing and marketing all of the library services in a more, intentional way. And then the job just expanded from there and never stopped.
This is fascinating just because you've lived it and have put it all together, just all the technology changes that we've seen.
Oh, it's tremendous. The library did have an online catalog at that time, but it was like terminals attached to a computer in another city. But we did pretty quickly innovate. We offered internet access in 1994, which was kind of early, and then rolled into public computers before anybody else was really offering them publicly. We launched our first website in 1997 called Planet Curl. I was looking at those graphics recently. They're very funky, but is what was supported by the internet at the time. At that time, there were fewer than 1 million websites worldwide when we launched Planet Curl. So it was pretty early in the internet.
Interesting.
Do you have any guess as to how many websites there are currently in the world?
To be just millions.
There's 1.2 billion websites currently. So this shows you how early the library was adopting this technology with Planet Curl, which has turned into really an amazing website and really a core of our publicity and our community engagement.
Yeah. Wow. Quick break. We're going to continue this discussion. Good stuff this morning as we talk with the library, librarypoint.org. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning, Sean Bonney and Ray Nickerson here as we talk about community engagement. We're getting into some other library things going on, but Sean, this is fascinating. As you get ready to retire and wrap up just a great career with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, and the fact that, because I wanted to talk to you about how technology's changed, I didn't know that you were, you know, really the point man for a lot of this. Boy, to see, like you said, where you've been and where you are now, it's pretty amazing.
It has been. It really has been very interesting to sort of start in a pre-digital world. Everything is very hands-on and analog, and to transition to, of course, the world we live in right now, where all of our communication is digital and we have so many channels, so much information that we need to be purposeful in how we manage it and manage our access to not get overwhelmed and pick the things that we want to learn about. So it's very interesting to watch society sort of respond to that. And of course, the library has expanded its marketing in all these ways, into the digital ways, and into our website, which has become really powerful, into our social media channels, where we get lots of great engagement. We've also expanded in print ways. You know, one of the things I'm most proud about is when we launched At Your Library, our quarterly magazine.
What a great magazine. It is colorful and informational, and just there's so much you can learn from that magazine.
It is. It's a big effort, and it really pays off. I think it was in spring 2013 that we started talking about the fact that we were producing, of course, print monthly circulars, mm-hmm. but we thought, you know, let's put it all into one quarterly, make it more convenient for our customers, and also we can put more in there, more about services. We can really enable that discovery piece, and it became very popular. I think our first order was 4,000 magazines to circulate for a quarter. We ran out in a month. We had to reorder twice and then, you know, sort of adjust to demand. But it has been a very powerful tool for customers. They can pick it up and carry around for months. And it has everything in it. And everything that you might do at the library over that entire quarter.
And it's so easy to read because it's so, like I said, it's so colorful and has mm-hmm. has so many illustrations. And different. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of work goes into that. And a lot of people have to pull all that together.
Oh, absolutely. And it was intentional to make it look like more of a popular magazine, like something that you would see at the grocery store, a popular culture magazine. We didn't want it to look like a government circular or something kind of dry. You know, the library is a dynamic place. People are coming in and having experiences with their community, with their family, and getting really an enriching experience. And we wanted it to look fun. And so we purposefully designed it like that. And of course, as the library has grown, our marketing staff has, and we have some really amazing designers, and we have an amazing marketing manager, Anna Lowry, who heads up the design of the magazine. So it's definitely become a focus of our publicity, and I really encourage anybody to pick it up or read it online. You can go to the library website, librarypoint.org, and you can read it online, and it's a great way to sort of look at the next quarter coming up, look at the summer, look ahead to the fall when that's out, and sort of plan what you're going to get out of the library.
As we've talked about this, and you mentioned it just a second ago, about just how the library really has been at the forefront with technology, and especially, you know, one of the first websites mm-hmm. in anywhere. The very first time I even heard about a 3D printer was when Martha Hutzel came in here and was talking about it at the branch that she was at the time. And I just look up. So many things that we hear that the library is doing is so cutting edge. And that was the way it was back then and continues to this day.
Absolutely. We love being on the forefront of maker technology. We had 3D printers and maker events in our branches for years, and that led to, of course, IdeaSpace, Making Plus Media, which is this really amazing site in downtown Fredericksburg, a part of the library on Princess Anne Street, where you can go and you can get badged on the equipment. There's 3D printers, there's scanners, there's embroidery machine, an AV booth. You can get badged, and then we give you a token that shows that you know how to use the technology. You register it, you register your time and schedule it, come in and work on your own. Use the technology to create whatever it is that you're dreaming about. and also come in and have classes and events. And you can check out equipment. You can check out digital cameras and camcorders and lighting and audio equipment. IdeaSpace is very popular, and I really encourage you to stop by and meet the robot. Meet Pepper, who will greet you at the door.
It is a fascinating place. I got a tour of it last year. My wife uses it all the time and is badged on a lot of things there. And it is really just a great, great resource for the community. And in so many areas, if you want to use any number of different things. And the library makes so many things available like that, whether it's technology or the library of things is another great thing that the library came up with a few years ago.
Oh, the library of things is very fun. And this is, a lot of libraries sort of move into this area. They check out things that aren't physical books. And, you can check out through the library of things collection, yard games. You can get equipment for your home. Suppose, you have a radon concern.
Mm-hmm.
You could hire somebody. No reason not to do that. You could buy a radon detector, or you just check one out from the library, take it home,
check it out,
see what's going on, mm-hmm. and return it. So the Library of Things is, sort of empowers that sort of home maintenance segment, as well as the entertainment segment, and also things like grow reader kits. So you can take home, you can work with your child birth through age 5 and, really get them started at home with you about the joys of learning to read.
How difficult was COVID? I mean, the library just shined during COVID. All the different ways that you made it available when people couldn't go in the library, you could take things to them. But it had to be, it was difficult for all of us, but especially for you and wanting people to come in and be able to do the things that librarians do.
It was very, very difficult. It was very difficult for a lot of public service agencies. I think one of the first things that went through our minds was we run an agency that has public buildings. People are coming into them, lots of people, and they're touching the same things. And how are we going to do this safely? We very quickly transitioned, as many agencies did, to all online offerings, and that happened kind of effortlessly. We already had an amazing website, so we started transitioning to offering, focusing on the digital collection and databases and virtual programming and those sort of offerings. I will say that personally and professionally, I'm pretty proud of the way that the library responded.
Yeah.
We never had a health outbreak attached to the library. We followed local, state, and federal guidance, but we continued to reopen the branches and services as quickly as we could. We sort of pushed that frontier, what was safe. But I will say, in terms of publicity, it was the most challenging part of my entire career, were those months when the guidance was changing, sometimes weekly.
Yeah.
Suddenly, we didn't have to have appointments to visit the branch. Suddenly, we didn't have time limits. And all the publicity attached to those things had to be updated. So that was a very challenging time for the community engagement department. But thank you for what you said. I do think the library shined during that time. And a really important part of that publicity was our visits here that were, of course, by the phone.
Yeah,
we come into the studio. And we didn't have as many opportunities to communicate with customers. They weren't coming into branches.
Right.
And they weren't visiting the branches until we instituted curbside pickup. So this channel was very, very important to us throughout our entire time here, but definitely during COVID.
Yeah, it was tough tough for all of us. I appreciate working with you over these years and just talking about the library, because the library does so many. I don't know that we all realize and appreciate what we have with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. We're fortunate to have such a forward-thinking library system that provides what you do in the area, and so many, and we just scratched the surface.
Oh, absolutely!
In these shows every month.
What I like to say about this job, about marketing the library job, is that it is very easy, because in general people love the library. We enjoy really widespread and deep and heartfelt support. Everybody knows that the library is fundamentally a good and noble thing. But it's also very difficult because, as you said, the incredible breadth of things. We're entirely focused often on trying to increase that discovery. Like if you pick up the magazine, there are things in here that you're looking for. You want to grow a reader class for mm-hmm. your children. But there are other things you don't even know that the library is doing. And we want you to flip those pages and discover, oh, you've got something for my teenage child. or you've got a book group that I would be interested in. So that is a real challenge because of the breadth of things that the library does to try to communicate all those things to the customers who may not even know that it's something that's very that's going to be of great interest to them.
Online, especially. Some of the things that by you having a library card that you have access to are things that, because I know people that will get some of these online things and they're telling me they're paying for them. And I'm like, you don't have to pay for that. That you can get that through the library.
Absolutely. You can save a significant amount of money by checking out books, but also ebooks and e-audio, streaming videos through Canopy.
Yeah.
Canopy is not cheap. But this is sort of the value of a regional library that can bargain on a larger scale to make these things available to you. You have so many things available to you with your library card, and it's been very interesting to watch the evolution in library use. Obviously, at one point, you had to come into a branch, check out a book, put it in your car and drive away. And now we have lots of people who get a really enriching experience and check out materials and get educational experiences and attend programs without coming into a branch, just by the power of their library card. And you can get your library card a variety of ways, but you can go to the website, librarypoint.org/card, and we will email you your barcode, and you can immediately start using those resources.
Yeah.
You'll get your physical card in the mail, because that's also fun, but we immediately connect you with all those online digital resources.
It was interesting, a couple months ago, we did a show with the library on just ebooks, and that was fascinating. I had no idea what, how you get any, how the library deals with the licensing of ebooks and all of that. Fascinating. A lot of things go into a lot of these different areas that we talk about.
Yeah, it's very interesting to watch the library collection evolve in that way. The ebook and e-audio book collection is in high demand, and that increases. Folks still want physical books. There's still something very convenient and comforting about a physical book. Take your physical book to the beach or whatnot. So we do see that holding on strong, but there is a growth in ebook, and that managing that collection is challenging. Those books are expensive, and they work differently. You can't just buy an ebook and put it in your collection and have it sit there until forever. You have to keep paying for these things, and the licensing is different from various things, and we really want to respond to customer demand. We don't want you to be waiting on hold for a couple of months for your ebook. We want to be able to support that demand. So it's been very interesting to watch that growth, even though folks are still very interested in physical books.
Good stuff this morning. Central Rappahannock Regional Library, our focus, Sean Bonney is here along with Raya Nickerson. We're talking community engagement right now, but we're going to get into a few other things that are going on right now with the library, including summer reading and a few other things. We'll continue on this morning. LibraryPoint.org, the website for information on the library. Also, Facebook has all kinds of great information, too. More with Sean and Raya this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Raya Nickerson, Sean Bonney here this morning from the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, librarypoint.org, for more information on what is going on with the library and Facebook. I don't know who does it, Sean. But whoever does on Facebook, and I think it's either I think it might be on Wednesdays when someone says, "What are you reading today?" I always find that fascinating to see how people respond. And I've actually gotten books because I see something that somebody's reading, and I think, "Oh, that sounds interesting."
Right, that would be on our book chat group on Facebook, and that is sort of overseen by our adult services staff, particularly our director of adult services, Tracy McPeck. Our marketing manager, Anna Lowry, does look over our social media, but that particular channel is great. So people have conversations about the books they're reading, and they make recommendations, and they chat about it. And we have a drawing, I believe it's on Fridays, for a free book. So if you haven't won a book in one of those drawings, keep at it. But yeah, that's a great channel for folks to sort of surface what they're reading on Facebook, make recommendations, and also talk about our reading challenges.
Well, and lots of great information on Facebook about upcoming programs or a lot of the Facebook Live kind of programs that you do on Facebook that are often really interesting with people from around the community.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly, that was something that we sort of leaned into with COVID. That was the only way you could have programming were those virtual programs, and we still have some. And there's a lot of engagement on Facebook. It's a great way for folks to learn about new skills and things. We have our Lunch and Learn program on Facebook. Those are also shared on YouTube. So you can see any of these on our Facebook channel. You are required, Facebook does now require that you have a login for Facebook and an account in order to see those. So if you don't want to do that, you can go on the library's YouTube channel and you can see them there.
Perfect. Okay. Ray, you brought some books in, and I can't let you leave here without talking about what. So how many books, because the books that the librarians read to me, or tell me that they read, I don't know how a person really reads that many books. How many do you think do you read either at a time or during a month?
I read before bed, and I would call myself a slower reader.
Okay.
So I probably read one book every month and a half to 2 months.
Okay, that would be me.
Yeah, so I'm an average reader.
Yeah,
but
I like you
love
already.
To read. Nonfiction is my favorite. I used to read strictly fiction, and then somewhere in my adult life made the shift, and now I'm only interested in nonfiction.
We're going to get along just fine. You are already a good hire. So what are you reading right now?
So right now, after I received this job post, I wanted to learn a little bit more about the history of libraries and just a little bit of facts. So I'm actually reading a book called The Library Book by Susan Orlean.
Okay.
She is the author of The Orchid Thief, which some people may be familiar with. But this book centers around the 1986 fire at the Los Angeles Public Library. But it's really so much more than that. It touches on some of the things that Sean's been talking about. It touches on the role of libraries in society and the importance of them as community hubs and keepers of knowledge.
Interesting. What, you got another book there?
Yes, I brought a couple of my favorites with me. You know, some of my favorite books were recommended by librarians, so I highly suggest going into your library. If you're looking for something to read that's going to capture you, go talk to one of your librarians and say, this is what I'm interested in. They can help you pick out
Definitely.
A book that you might end up falling in love with.
Right. They know things that you may not know about whatever particular topic you're talking about.
Sure. So one of my favorite books is probably a little bit less well known. It's called From Here to Eternity by Caitlin Doughty. She was a mortician and has written about different practices surrounding death throughout all different countries over the world. She's done a lot of traveling. So this is a really interesting book that just kind of focuses on different cultures, what the people might do after someone passes in their family, and the spiritual aspect of that. But she has some funny books too called Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs, which is questions from kids surrounding death and real life answers to them as well.
Yeah.
So you could find that out.
Interesting. Interesting. Sean, are you a big reader?
I would say that I'm probably a slow reader, and I would say mainly during my career and really focused on work, you don't get to read as much as you'd want to.
Sure.
I expect and hope that that's going to change in a couple of days. When I retire, I will have more time to read. And, of course, my wife is a librarian. She's always bringing home books, including the Susan Orlean library book, which she read to me and I really enjoyed. I primarily read science fiction. I think my last one was Leviathan Wakes by James S.A. Corey, which is the first book in an amazing series. I'm really looking forward to reading the rest. And, of course, there's a TV show, The Expanse, based upon that, which is supposed to be really, really fantastic. I also read a lot of tabletop role-playing guidebooks. I'm really into tabletop role-playing with my friends.
Okay.
And so sometimes I'm reading adventure books and things like that that have a lot of adventure to them, but also a lot of rules. So that sort of scratches that itch. I'm currently reading The End of Absence. I referred to this earlier, Reclaiming What We Have Lost in a World of Constant Connection, which is sort of a fascinating book about my generation who grew up and became adults and interacted in a professional way in the pre-digital world. So our brains work that way. Yep. And then we experienced, of course, this incredible change, and now our brains work in a different way, and contrasting the ways that we absorb information before and after, and sort of strategies for managing information overload and getting what you need out of the incredible digital resources that are now available in your pocket.
Yeah, definitely. It's always interesting talking with all of you and finding out, you know, the kind of interest you have in the kind of books you read. So thank you. Speaking of reading, Rhea, the summer reading is well underway. This is such a huge program, especially for kids, but adults can take part too. There's the adult reading side of this, but summer reading, a big part of the Central Rappahannock Regional Library.
Yes, summer reading is well underway. It started on May 15th, and it'll run through August 15th. So there is still time. If you haven't signed up,
yep,
you can go to our website and sign up, or you can download the app, Beanstack app, and start signing up. Start logging your minutes, start logging your books. And it's really a fun way to just be involved. And also, you could win really cool prizes. So you can get points by logging your reading. There's also fun activities and digital badges and a book bag giveaway. For adults, you're eligible to win one of our tote bags. And for children, you could win a free book or a stuffed animal, or also a meal from Raising Cane's of Fredericksburg, who is our sponsor for summer reading this year. Summer reading is so important because I don't know if you've heard the term summer slide, but during the summer, children who don't read regularly or they don't participate in educational or enrichment activities that they are doing during the school year, at best, they'll tread water on their educational skills. They could even fall behind. We call this the summer slide, and the good news is that we can avoid that by participating in summer reading.
Boy, and it really is a chance for in the summer when things slow down, maybe a little bit, although I don't think in life ever slows down anymore. We keep talking about that, but it really is the kind of thing you can do as a family.
Yes, you can read to your children, or you can all sit around in your living room and say, we're going to read for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, yeah. Turn the timer on. It can be very engaging, and it's really good for families.
Well, especially for kids, it's a chance for them to read what they want to. It's not so tied to school. You can they can read fun things.
Absolutely. You can read whatever you want. All books count. We don't discriminate. So we encourage you to please sign up for summer reading. You can do that at librarypoint.org/summer.
And like you said, it's summer reading goes through August.
August 15th, yes.
That's one of those things, Sean, where the library, you had to be nimble with certain things just because school schedules have changed so much. All area schools now are getting out late May. And it never used to be like that. And so you've adjusted summer reading, you know, as necessary.
Yes, the start date for summer reading has moved early. We've been responsive. We're very aware of when students are being let out and they're going back in at the end of the summer. And we want to sort of catch them before they leave school. We have staff that go out to the branches, librarians, they talk to the students and they promote summer reading and get them connected. But yes, we've had to be very, very nimble as schedules change to make sure that students and their caregivers are all very well aware of summer reading before they go off for the summer. But the summer is, it's a very busy time at the library. You know, there's never a quiet time.
Yeah. Boy, but the library is so utilized during the summer. I notice when I go in, the Salem Church branch is sort of my home library, and it's I think it's even busier in the summers because a lot of times parents you'll take your kids to the library during the day during the summer.
Oh, absolutely. There's always a lot of foot traffic after school lets out, but then during the summer, you know, a lot of children and teens are sort of wandering by, and families are coming by the Salem Church branch. I was out there, I think, last summer for work, and I was there before the doors opened on some summer morning, and there were folks lined up outside, and the doors opened, and I watched, and they sort of flooded in, and a bunch went and get on the computers right away, because those are always very busy, and then a bunch went into the stacks and started looking for books, probably for travel. You're going to go to the beach, grab a stack of books.
Speaking of summer and activities, a great event Monday nights during the summer is Music on the Steps. That's been going on for quite a while. And nothing beats a nice summer night when you can when you can be outside. A lot of these concerts, if it does rain, or in the cases this last week it was too hot, will move inside. But Music on the Steps is really a great. I always stand there when I'll go, and you just look around and you think, this is one of the great things of living in Fredericksburg.
It really is a community touchstone and one of the really community favorite events that the library has been doing for a long time. This is the 40th year of Music on the Steps, so this goes way back. It predates even me at the library. And it's a great community celebration. We have there's a wide range of diverse bands that come to us. You get exposed to all different kinds of music. And right, it's very pleasant. You know, bring your lawn chair, bring your blanket, bring a snack, get out there on the lawn and enjoy the evening. Enjoy the music right there on the front steps of Fredericksburg Branch. We do have to move inside if the weather is inclement or it's too hot. But the Fredericksburg Branch Theater is very nice too. A couple of years ago, that got renovated.
Yes.
It's much larger and it got, you know, some new features. So that's a nice space. But it's been very popular this season. I think we've had 813 attendance at the first four concerts.
Yeah.
I believe you attended the first one.
I saw the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was off the hook. That was a really, really good, attendance. And it's so much fun to see people. Everybody's enjoying it. You've got sort of folks towards the back in their chairs, and they've brought their thermos or whatever. And then you've got the children up front. There's always some young children that are dancing. Up front. It's such a great community scene.
It is. Yeah. No, is that I think of that. The other thing that it's always great about the library is just the artwork that you have. That there's usually some kind of a contest or some kind of artwork displayed. There really are a lot. Each individual branch kind of has its own. You ought to go and check out your library. A library branch, just because you'll see just a part of the community at each branch.
We do. We have art shows. We support the artist community. We have a special newsletter just for artists that you can sign up for. But we have art shows in all locations. Even in Town Center Branch has a space for art. Idea Space is now instituting an opportunity for those makers to share their art. And of course we have the big shows. We have the Uniquely shows, like Uniquely Spotsylvania, that occurred earlier this year, that celebrates the locations and the spots that are unique and special to Spotsylvania, and that goes throughout the library's jurisdictions year after year. We have the Johnny P. Johnson Teen Art Show. Johnny Johnson, very important art teacher in the community, and was very important part of that show for many years. That's one of the events that the Friends of the Library sponsor. They make the Johnny P. Johnson Teen Art Show possible. They also make the Claudia Emerson Teen Poetry Contest, which is another annual artistic opportunity for teens. They support the fun fests that are coming up. And of course, as we were talking about, Music on the Steps. The Friends make Music on the Steps possible so that the community can come together and have those really fun concerts on summer evenings on Monday.
LibraryPoint.org, the website for the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. We'll wrap it up when we come back. We'll talk fun fests and we'll find out what Sean's going to do now that retirement is knocking on his door. Sean Bonney and Ray Nickerson here from the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning. Sean Bonney's getting ready to wrap up a career with the library, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And Raya Nickerson is just starting her career with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. It's been great to meet you, Ray, and let you see behind the scenes what goes on around here. So look forward to in the years ahead working with you in doing all this. Before we get to that, fun fests are something that's going on right now with the library.
Yes, every summer we have fun fests at several branches. This summer, the first one kicks off July 17th at Fredericksburg Branch, and then throughout July and into the beginning of August, we also have them at Salem Church Branch, Howell, Porter, and Cooper. So these are really community celebrations. You come out outside and inside the branch, and there are games and there are activities for kids and all ages, and popsicles, and the Friends of the Library sponsor this, and it's just sort of a celebration of the summer and giving us all an opportunity to get together. Come to the library and appreciate being together and celebrating your community.
Yeah. So see what's near you and do that. I found it interesting just a few weeks ago, Westmoreland celebrated an anniversary. I mean, Westmoreland is a branch. I've always said I need to go to Westmoreland and visit it. But it's a branch that we don't talk about a lot, but it's a branch for that part of the community that I know is really important.
Absolutely. That was Cooper Branch in Colonial Beach, right there downtown. They celebrated 25 years, which is amazing. But we've been out in Westmoreland County for 53 years, which has really been so successful to bring the library services out to Westmoreland County. We do have another branch celebration coming up. That will be in October. The date is not set yet, but that's for Howell Branch in Stafford. So please come out. There'll be cake, speakers. Help us celebrate Howell Branch. They're celebrating 15 years.
Wow. I remember when that opened. So, it's so interesting. Each branch is so important to the community, the communities that they serve. Again, librarypoint.org to follow everything. So Sean, what do you do now come next week when you're retired? What's the future hold for you? Have you mapped anything out yet?
Oh my goodness. Yes, my wife and I are really looking forward to traveling a little more around the country and spending more time with our kids who are all, scattered to the winds. She retired a couple of years ago from the library after 31 years. Of course, she got me into it, and now we'll get to go around and visit with our kids more. I'm looking forward to reading more. Having more time for that. I might get out my paintbrushes. I did a lot of painting early in my career. I actually did some for the library, painting displays to show you how much that has changed.
Yeah.
And it's something I really enjoy, and I look forward to having more time for that. I am also going to continue following the library, and I'm really looking forward to that surprise. I'm looking forward to a moment when I see something the library is doing, which is new or which is marketed in a really innovative way that I wasn't part of planning and I didn't know, and I just get to appreciate as a customer, that's sort of a moment of discovery that I haven't gotten to have for a couple of decades, and I'm really looking forward to that.
It was so interesting when we started the show and just talking about the technology and the changes, because I can remember when I first came to Fredericksburg and being involved in radio, and one of the things we would always give the bookmobile schedule, and just how things have changed. Mm-hmm. There's still a mobile part to the library, but. Boy, the technology and the website and so many things digitally that are now available with the library. It's really something to see.
As valued and important as those digital resources are, it's still nothing beats getting out of the community face to face. So we have Library on the Go, which is our umbrella service for all of our outreach there, and we have vehicles that go out to retirement homes and to daycares and to preschools and things like that. And we bring services, we bring books. We come to the lobby of a retirement center and you put a book on hold, and then we come back and we give it to you. So Library on the Go is very important and very valued by those special customers who some can't come into a library branch. And this is the only way that they can access library services. And we will soon be launching a Westmoreland Library on the Go vehicle. We have that vehicle. We got it thanks to some grants, and we're looking at launching that very soon.
Well, Sean, it's been great to work with you. I just want to say, I mean, you have been the easiest to work with. You and I have done this for at least 5 or 6 years, probably even more than that of the scheduling part of this. But Good luck to you, and thanks for all your work in the community.
Thank you, Ted. I really can't thank you enough. And on behalf of the library and on behalf of my work, you've made my job definitely easier. You are just an amazing advocate for the library and an amazing community engagement touchstone for us, and have enabled us to share information in a really fun way that the customers really enjoy. I really enjoyed working with you.
Same thing, Sean. Thanks, and good luck to you. And boy, Rhea, anybody that has date night at the library, you're where you need to be.
I hope so. I'm very excited to be here. I really look forward to working with you, Ted, getting more of our librarians in on the show to talk to you about services and things going on.
LibraryPoint.org. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.